Great way to start, Bill. A dear friend of some of ours, perhaps many of ours here in the church, my former pastor, Daryl Emerson, a wonderful pastor who started a number of churches, and Phil was one of his elders. Phil and Pat were the two of the leaders at the church. His son just died today. We just got a word, wonderful Christian gentleman, a strong and a vibrant human being. He's now with the Lord, a flower plucked for his garden, and more than a flower, a champion for Christ. And it just, obviously, it sharpens our thinking when we know this all ends. He was not an old man. He was in his 50s. And I'm not going to use a dramatic, it could be your moment, a train might hit you on the way out of the church or something like that. That's not it. But I don't know what a day brings forth for any of us. And so the challenge is to live for Christ, to make a difference. What we do is, Mark already mentioned it, a trinity of purpose, top ops, oikos. That means we take a card and we pray for the 8 to 15 people nearest us who don't know Christ, who are unchurched. 8 to 15 just to kind of limit the number of prayer and focus it and take the opportunities to talk to them. I invited one of my oikos guys to Tuesday Night Lights, our soccer thing here at the church, and he's zealous to come. I asked him to bring his girlfriend. So it enables me to both pray for him and be focused about my personal outreach for him. Oikos. We may be out of cards, which is a good sign. I didn't see them quickly in the lobby, but if you can grab one or just begin a process where you take 8 to 15 people and pray for them, that would be great. I don't normally mention visitors, but this morning I misidentified a visitor. Clark Hetrick's dad is here this morning, but I thought it was Lizzie's father, so I apologize for that, Lizzie, but you are Hetrick, so I was, you know, close. Good to see you guys here this morning. God bless you. What a wonderful family you have, and so many of you are such a blessing to us personally. Baptisms, it's just great to have the opportunity with these guys stepping up here in front of God and the whole world to testify to their faith in Christ. You know, when Mark, I'm going to read a little piece of the passage this morning. What is said in 1 Corinthians can be summarized in the word one. We have that out there, and the more you spend time in this book, you see, actually, for a lifetime, I've taught on 1 Corinthians before, but this time it's much more clear to me that he keeps saying very consistently, the Apostle Paul, the same thing over and over, one, 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 one. He says there are divisions in the church. He says this is the way it is in Corinth. This is the way life is. Because there are some people who are genuine. These are the Apostle Paul's words, and some that are not. And so things happen, or some that are mature, meaning more Christ-like, more loving, more sympathetic, and some that are not so mature. And the emphasis of this passage is unity. The Lord Jesus Christ, before he was crucified, hours before he was crucified, prayed that we all might be one, even as you are and I in you. The way the world will know that God has sent his Son, as the song says, is as the Father makes us one. That's why in our ops we have oikos, prayer for those people, and then small groups. Again, I'm going to say this till I die. If you can touch into a small group, even once a month, once every 2 months, go and visit. Be that much of a part of it. It will enhance your relationships. We do not want a church where all we do is go to church and go to church activities. So I know how bright this congregation is, how wise they are, and you will make your decisions. I got that. We need to be in our culture, but not of our culture. We also need to tap in, like a car getting some fuel in the car, to our small groups. This is a celebration service. It's large. People talk to you with microphones and play instruments, but we need each other. So top ops, oikos, prayer, small groups. And then this should be part of our prayer. Father, make us one. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For just as the body is one, at least that was Paul's hope. He was having, as we all know, terrible problems with this particular church and divisions. And has many members. He looked out over his congregation. There had been rapid growth in the early church. The miraculous was on. Also, tremendous tragedy was coming to parts of that world. The utter destruction of Jerusalem, 900,000 people dying under siege. It's a similar time with all the fears of the modern-day world under the threat of nuclear holocaust. And here he is, he's saying, I want you to be one. For as the body is one, and as many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Now, when he says he wants you to be one, he is not talking about, and you've heard this before, but it bears repeating, uniformity. This is not all of us together getting little goatees because John has a little goatee, and an earring in our right ear because Sammy has this, and get all tatted up on our right arm because that's the popular thing to do. That is uniformity. Unity is loving sympathy between people. I wore this outfit this morning to demonstrate uniformity. I'm a Northern Virginia guy. I'm wearing my button-down blue collar and my tan pants, but I didn't wear, what am I missing? Anybody want to see my footwear? What's wrong with this? Yes. Or tasseled shoes, you know, right? Shined up. Brown. I'm wearing the wrong color also. Thank you for noticing, Cindy. But we are very influenced by others. Would that we were so influenced by the Lord Jesus. Uniformity, but not unity. I mean, unity, but not uniformity. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Do you think he has an emphasis here? Oftentimes, if you're trying to find out what a writer is attempting to do, look for repetition. Repetition is the mother of knowledge. Look for repetition. Jews or Greeks, one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. And all were made to drink of one spirit. He says, I don't care what color you are. I don't care what nationality you are, what mixed base of things you are. Are you one in the Lord Jesus Christ? This is the issue. And what does that mean? If it's not uniformity, then what is it? It is one body with each member doing that which God has created them to do. And the special sauce, the thing that binds it all together, is love. It's sympathy. I actually was gratified. It's been a tough week. I don't know if I told you this, but two of the boys from my youth group now have died in about the past 10 days. Best boys ever. Just love them. My wife hears me over in the corner of the house somewhere just sobbing when I got the news of one of them. It's just awful. You remember the sun-dappled youth that he was and the love that was in that particular youth group. There was a lot of love. There are people here weeping this morning because they were this guy's best friend. Tough stuff. They were one because of Jesus and his love. Note the word one repeated over and over and over again. It's as if God says, you're my family. I want you to stay together. Not in a dysfunctional unity, but a unity that is based on sympathy and love and care for one another, and not being divided by ego, pride, neediness, the destruction of your childhood. No, 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 no. The hope that you are now one in Christ as a people and individually members of one another, and then having gifts that differ according to the very plan and purpose of God. I need you. You need me. It's a time for unity and upbuilding and bringing forth
our spirit-led gifts to bring beauty to the body of Christ. And that time, as one lady came to me after the service last week and prophesied, the time for us to discover and use our gifts is now. I know it's a little bit of a complex situation, but the God who created you can make clear to you, if you will pray and seek Him, what you're made to do, what your thing is in the body of Christ and in your world. And she said the word she got was, do it now. If it's Sunday school teaching, do it now. If it's outreach, do it now. Don't put it off. You were made for this. You were made for a purpose, a holy and a glorious purpose. Don't procrastinate. Do it now, whatever it is. I never, ever thought of being a minister. My whole childhood and life didn't occur to me. But apparently it occurred to the Lord. Because different things in my life providentially came together. I won't go through a list of them. But certain gifts were put forward. I was put in situation after situation that demanded things that I would have to use in professional ministry. There was a providence behind my life, and there is behind yours. The body does not consist of one member, but of many. We are cells in Christ's body, part of a larger body. Each individual in this room is kind of a microscopic engine. There are studies now of a universe going beyond, and some would make it larger than a universe, but also a universe going down. The atom and subatomic particles and smaller things that are tiny engines, they're the equivalents to worlds and cities. That's you in the body of Christ. You're a cell with a profound and complex purpose that maybe you haven't figured it out yet, but pieces of it should begin to show as you seek Him. Mark said last week, and this is one understanding, that we each are gifted with at least one spiritual gift at conversion. But like, I know you guys, that prompts some thinking. Well, I came to Christ in an unconscious way. I was 1 year old. I was raised in a Christian home. I never denied the Lord Jesus. I didn't walk away from Him. When did my gifts come up? My wife asked me if God had made her to be a teacher. Well, or if she was a teacher in the body of Christ. I'm going to go offline for a second. I have all the notes written down, but I want to tell you this. I have seen God use her prophetically. I have seen the Lord give her wisdom or knowledge that's beyond herself. I'm not talking about something from a book. I'm talking about a woman coming to her, and Melanie knew something supernaturally, had been burdened about it, spoke to this woman about a certain thing, and it changed her life. Another one came to her about dreams she had had her whole life, and Melanie had some kind of word of wisdom. We will not, let me tell you in advance, in 1 Corinthians, they talk about a number of gifts of the Spirit that we really don't know what they are. I read Calvin. I read Luther. I read modern commentators. This is what you pay me for. This is what I do. And they'll go, I'm not sure. What you can be sure of is that God imparts wisdom, both in a general sense and in a specific and sometimes prophetic sense. And if we can encourage this church not simply to be extremely bright and people who read their Bible and know the Word, but know the Word in this sense, that right behind this world we live in, there is an invisible world. And we need a power from above. In the early church, people say, we want to be like the primitive church. Then be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a group, we will do great works, the works that He has prepared beforehand, long ago, for us to walk in. The Apostle Paul persecuted the church. He basically tortured people. He dragged them out of his house, both men and women. And yet that guy was prepared through all this, number one, to understand the grace of God in the deepest possible way, because he was chief of sinners. If you've been chief of sinners, if you're just the worst, if you felt like dirt your whole life because of what you've done, guess what? God can take that, shine it up, make it glow, fill it with the Spirit, and do something unique and special with you. You are a member and a cell in the body of the Lord Jesus. You are a mighty engine for him. Now, God, through his servant Paul, begins to operate and promote mental and spiritual health in the church of Jesus Christ. We're different. We're different. But as the French say, vive la différence. Wonder life to the difference. Because we were made for unique purpose. Let's say, though, as a child, someone called you stupid. I know in this room there are those who have been abused. I know that. In wondrous Northern Virginia, there are some who have gone through terrible things. We can be defined by those terrible things, or we can say, God did not intend that for me. This was the free will of free moral agents making terrible choices, saying things to me that never should have been said. That never should have been done. And I will not let that name define me. The Bible says that I'm a new creation in him, that he has a plan and purpose for my life. But Bill, I'm not a singer in the body of Christ. Bill, I'm not a speaker in the body of Christ. You know something? A lot of you should never want to be a speaker in the body of Christ. I sit with some men that are wondrous speakers and pastors. It's hard to go to a service with them when they are literally shaking in the car on the way. The pressures and anxieties are enormous. Be grateful for who you are. Find out what your gift set is or what you were made for and do that. Let me say something else to generalize, and we will be more specific, but I'm going to let some of this out of the bag. The Bible in one place talks about gifts of healings, plural. Dr. Morey always made that point, good point. That's what the Greek says, gift of healing, gifts of healings. It is possible that many of the gifts we have are not something we hold on a holster on our side. Well, if you want healing, go to Susie. No. The gift may be given through the laying on of your hands, but it is in the providence and purpose of God in that moment that he dropped that gift on you. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. I do know my wife is a teacher. I know God created her to do that. So I suspect there's a spiritual gift. She was a Christian her whole life. She doesn't know of herself in any other way. I'm different. Mine was fairly defined. What I'm saying to you is, your gifts may come out as you pray and seek the Lord in the day-to-day of life, in the moment-to-moment. People can be moved on by the Spirit. Like I've told you 100 times, but this happened. A lady is at a church service, 50 people in the room, and a boy is up there singing. He was about 25 years old. She stood up in the congregation. It was allowed in that particular church. She was a slender, not very attractive lady, but she didn't feel bad about herself. She had the confidence and courage to point in the congregation and say this: Thus saith the Lord, this day the Lord has set you apart for ministry, pointing directly to a 24-year-old kid who was going to be told by his elders that night whether he was going to be released to, quote, full-time professional ministry. She knew nothing of that, but God knew. How did she know that? It happened. My wife was there. Look at my life. Why have I been so crazy? 9 kids. Am I out of my mind? Or, don't answer that. I heard that secret thing going on. We were told in our own neighborhood they thought we were running a foster home. Okay, whatever. It's irritating. The bottom line was, we did it because we believed in a mighty God that would take care of these children. And they saw that in their life. And he did take care of them in a profound way. In a ridiculous way. We lived for many years because an attorney secretly took a hurt on a house he owned and rented it to us for $1,000 a month for I don't know how many years. We didn't ask him to. We didn't beg him to. We didn't approach him to do that. Jesus spoke to him because he was going to provide for us. Now, having said that, what I'm encouraging you in is you are unique. You are special. There's something going on in your life, no matter what your background is. Stop it with the endless self-inspection. I'm going to hit this again. Healing for Damaged Emotions, book by David Siemens. The end game is he uses the picture of a record, a vinyl thing on a turntable. There are very horrible things that happen to some of us. And the needle went in there and dug deep. But our mind can keep playing that record and dig that groove deeper and deeper till it defines and controls us the rest of our life. I'm no good, I'm lousy, etc. That's a lie. He that the Son sets free, the Bible says, is free indeed. You are uniquely gifted. Well, some people say, I don't do that role or this role or what is my role? Some people feel that they are ugly in a certain sense. I'm going to tell some inside scoop. This is how honest I am. My wife thinks I have ugly feet. And further, she thinks that my toenails are gross. That's a direct quote. The Bible talks about feet and hands. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. That would not make it any less a part of the body. Here's where I'm going. Some people were, he's using symbolism, he's talking about the body, but some people see certain roles in the church as the hand. You know, it's the hand that plays the violin, it's the hand that pitches the baseball, it's the hand that shoots the bat, whatever it is this thing that does delicate work and often very public, and you get a lot of applause for what you do. But the foot with bad toenails? Give me a break. But what is he really saying? Don't feel bad that you're a foot. My foot's broken. It's been broken for 14 years. I'm 4 years. Crushed in a number of times, but in a soccer game. Everything I love to do, everything that gives me life in a hobby sense, emanates out of my feet without getting into this. Things I've done for a lifetime. Melanie, sorry, babe, we disagree. I love my feet. If I could, I'd kiss them right now. And here's the point. If you're a foot, you provide stability. You provide the ability to dream and dive and run and go for the Lord. I don't know what that means, what a foot means to you. But do not diminish yourself intellectually, spiritually, emotionally, physically, or any other way because you are not a pronounced or delicate member. One says, if the ear says, I'm not an eye. What he's speaking to here in this local church is people comparing themselves in negative ways. Johnny is special. The pastor loves him more. The elders do. Everybody applauds when Susie's up there, but nobody notices me down here. I'll tell you who notices you. An angelic host and a Lord Jesus seated or standing at the right hand of the Father. His servant Stephen was being beaten with stones, and the Bible says Jesus stood up next to the Father and applauded that as his face was torn to shreds. People are precious to the Lord, one. Two, you are unique and necessary. If you're a foot, that's a fabulous thing to be. You are necessary for proper functioning. There was a guy whose name was Abraham Lincoln. I'm going to use a number of these this morning. You've heard this. Every 4 years or so, I drag it out. But he had a rough life. He was born into poverty, and he was faced with defeat throughout his life. He lost 8 elections, he twice failed in business, and he suffered a nervous breakdown. But he wouldn't quit because he was made by God for a purpose. He could have quit many times, but he didn't. When you see lists of presidential greatness, everyone knows he, Washington, there's a couple that are just different. Thank God for the sake of our nation. You know, George Washington was not a public speaker, by the way, just to throw that out. We talk Washington all the time. It was another little man who was next to him forever, a guy we now know because of the play Hamilton, is Alexander Hamilton, that made George Washington. Washington had his gifts, but Hamilton was his mouthpiece. Hamilton was everything. He was not a visible gift. He was not a hand. He was a foot soldier. But doesn't the Bible say, blessed are the feet of those who bear good news? And we exist today because of the sacrifice of that particular heroic guy. Read his story. It's unbelievable what he did, and no one knows it. Lincoln, champion because he never gave up. Here's a sketch of the road to the White House. 1816, the family was forced to work out of was put out of their home, and he had to work to support them. You know, his mom died, and I believe it was Nancy Hanks became his mother. In 1818, his mom died. 1831, he failed in business. 1832, he ran for the state legislature and lost. 1832, he also lost his job. He wanted to go to law school, but couldn't get in. Hey, you know, the guy's a loser. Let's just write him off. Ugly. You guys have seen the giant growth on his face. Is he pretty? The Bible says when Jesus hung on the cross, there was no form or beauty or comeliness that we should desire him. It's nice to be beautiful, but it's more beautiful to be Christ-like. 1833, he borrowed some money from a friend to begin a business, and by the end of the year, he was bankrupt. He spent the next 17 years of his life paying off the debt. 1834, he ran for the legislature again. 1835, was engaged to be married. Sweetheart died, and his heart was broken. 1836, had a total nervous breakdown. Ah, Bill, I'm mentally ill. So was Abraham Lincoln and a lot of other amazing people. That's not a stop sign. It may be a yield, but we're going to get through that thing by God's grace. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. 1836, had a nervous breakdown, was in bed for 6 months. 1838, sought to become Speaker of the State Legislature, failure. 1840, sought to become an elector, defeated. 1843, ran for Congress and lost. 1846, ran for Congress again. This time he won, went to Washington, did a good job. 1848, ran for re-election to Congress and lost. 1849, saw the job of land officer in his home state, sought it and was rejected. 1854, he ran for the Senate of the United States and lost. 1856, he ran for the vice presidential election at the party national convention, got a tiny number of votes, embarrassing. 1858, he ran for the U.S. Senate again. Again, he lost. 1860. Elected President of the United States. Now, anyone would value this gifted man in a low way. They did over and over, signed off on his political death warrant. But he said this, the path was worn and slippery. My foot slipped from under me, knocking the other out of the way, but I recovered. And I said to myself, it's a slip and not a fall. Abraham Lincoln, that's what he said after a Senate race, but God has arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. Aren't you glad he's arranged the body? Well, if I arrange it, I'd put myself in this place and that. Stop arranging then. I have a chessboard somewhere. I have chess players somewhere. I am a terrible chess player. I'm an embarrassing chess player. Doug Bondo back there is probably a chess master. Now, if I'm going to play chess against probably Gary out here, I'm going to have Doug standing over my shoulder. I'm going to have him tell me what to do. I don't want to place myself in the body of Christ. I want him to do it. Don't you? Huh? Let go and let God and see what he does. And I'm telling you that you're gifted. I'm telling you you're made for something. Find it and do it. We need more small group leaders. Just substitute the word servant. Don't think that you can't do it. Yes, you can. If you're a loving parent, you can love the people in our church. He's made you for a purpose and arranged your giftings and usage for the body of Christ. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it are, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. The loud and piercing message is that you are indispensable to the body of Christ, especially those that seem to be weaker. Long story short, you have something under your rib cage that weighs 3 pounds, doesn't seem to be any good, and it's quite ugly. It's called a liver. But it's if it stops functioning, it's not public, it's protected, it doesn't want to be seen because it's ugly. If you lose it, you die. The whole body comes apart. We need each other to continue the illustration of the body. Look up liver function and its necessity. On those parts of the body, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. I don't think she's here this morning, but Betty Mangolis tends to be at that door when I come into the room. She's here. She's a gift to the body of Christ. One of the most loving, sweet, and dear people I've ever met in my life. I'm glad she greets at this church. You are such an encourager. So my girl Kathy's back there, Kathy Isaacs. She served me, and I'm a piece of work to serve, for, I don't know, a decade or two, silently making me look good when she's the one that should have looked good and still does. By the way, on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our presentable parts do not require, for God so composed the body, giving greater honor to that part that lacked it. In other words, if you don't think much of yourself, stop thinking that way. If you're trying to climb up on other people, stop the climb. Let go and let the Lord speak to you about what you should do and be that effective piece of the body of Christ. I meant to bring in, and I'm going to conclude here, a picture of two men. One is one of the most gifted speakers of all time. Another one is a professor that teaches men to be the greatest speakers of all time because he's probably the best teacher of speakers of all time. I wanted to flash their pictures up, and I'm not going to tell you who they were because I felt somewhat convicted. They do not define the word beauty. They are squint-eyed. Their faces are sideways. They don't look good at all, but they give off an aroma of grace to those who sat under them, to those who were won to Christ under them, to those who were educated by them, because they fulfilled their part in the body of Christ without any beauty, without any flash, without any pizzazz, just being steadfast, immovable. There was a man whose name was Alexander White, W-H-Y-T-E. He spoke, and he was gifted by God. Just gifted. There was something about him. But he was illegitimate. Now, in that era, that was a big thing. His father was in another country. This boy, I believe, was in Scotland with his mom. Now, we know the scenario in this culture. That's for darn sure. And his mom was like a scullery maid. There was nothing to desire about her. There was no positive future for her. His dad, the mom tried to get a little help from dad. Dad, in essence, kills himself in another country. I think ashamed of his life, ashamed of what he'd done. And so little Alexander grows up working from the time he's a little tiny boy, but he had faith in Jesus. He had everything against him, poverty, etc. The end of this story is he became the pastor of the largest church in Scotland. Does that mean you're great? No. But the fruit of his life was beautiful and brilliant, and he became a professor at a major college in Scotland. He came out of the pulpit one morning, and a man said, you're preaching this morning. It was as if you'd been in the presence. And he said, perhaps I have. Don't seek position. Seek the presence of the Lord. Come on, there it is. Danny, you're driving a bus. This guy's a genius, blooming genius. He's driving a bus. But he knows the Lord. and he's affecting kids and coaches in our county. Because he's been near the presence. I know him. I just know it's true. How about you? How about you? Let's bow our heads to pray. Lord, we would be sympathetic to people. We would have hearts like Gary and Liz who serve people with food, or Trisha, or so many like Alan and Annie that serve all of us through Bible study, prayer, and small groups. Thank you, Lord, for them. We know that we don't want division here, Lord, but we know there's going to be some. But we want the members here to all have the same care for one another, and if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, we applaud and rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Seek his face. Turn to him and he will turn to you and place his mighty hand of love on you. No matter what your past is, you are not only okay with him, you are his child, and he will lead you and guide you. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.